Hey, everyone. Thank you for joining us on this episode of
Because I Promised.
Down people, thank you for joining us on this episode of Because I Promise, the show where we talk all things marriage, family, and everything in between from a Christian perspective.
We're the Wilsons, and we feel that traditional marriage in our society today has been dealt a black eye and is no longer a sexy concept. And we want to do everything we can to help heal, enhance, and restore as many marriages and families as possible.
So let's get it. Baby girl, what's going down?
All right now. Don't start. No, I'm kidding. Yeah,
okay.
Okay.
Anyway, guys, this is our part two edition of Are You Really a Virgin? And we want to get into that.
We didn't want to rush it. We didn't want to do that at all. It was a good segment.
Right.
I mean, and so, yeah, we absolutely needed to cut it and bring it back in so you can enjoy the rest.
But before we get into it, babe, tell the people where we can be reached.
Because I Promised here on YouTube and BIP for Life on Instagram and Facebook.
Absolutely. We can also be heard on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify at Because I Promise. Remember, this is part two of a 2.0 series because we have done this one before. So without further,
do you want to pray for part two?
Oh, okay, sure.
Absolutely.
It was on your heart. Why don't you go on and give one up?
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we do ask that you bring back the people who saw part one and that they are anticipating what you have in part two. We thank you so much for that whole segment, and we pray that it is a blessing to someone, to some parent, some youth, some teenager, Lord God. We really do want to be a help, Father, and I pray that this segment is exactly that. We bless your name for it. Have your way in it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And one more quick thing. We will be going into the Gospel Minute with Pastor Bill because we always feel that it's so important that the gospel is preached on every episode. You know, we talk about Jesus, but we want to make sure that the gospel is preached on every episode. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go into the Gospel Minute first, and then we're going to go straight into part two of Are You Really a Virgin?
Hey, this is Pastor Bill with the Gospel in 1 minute. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world of sinners, the world of people that have sinned and rebelled against God in so many ways, that he sent his only begotten Son," God the Father, "sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, from heaven to earth to die on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, because the wages of sin is death. That whosoever should believe in him," anybody can come, anybody can believe, anybody can receive him. You've got to come and believe in Jesus. Believe in the work he completed and finished on the cross when he died for your sins. Will not perish. You won't die and go to hell and be separated from God for all eternity, but will have everlasting life. You will experience life everlasting in the presence of God Almighty because you have turned from sin and put your faith in Jesus. Would you come to him today?
I wanted to share that story because I feel that there's someone out there that may be experiencing that. And I don't think that people, especially women, understand the pressure on boys, you know. You guys are so, you know, if you find a girl who's a virgin, even when we were going to school in the world, it's like, ah, she a virgin. Don't mess with her.
Right.
Try being a virgin, a young male who's a virgin at a secular school or around people who are secular. No, no.
Right?
Oh, that dude right there is a weenie.
A weirdo. You're a whole weenie.
They made a whole movie about it. Remember the 40-year-old virgin and they made a, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't, to be a virgin, the pressure that's on you, the insults, the ridicule that you are in and being in a secular school.
Right.
And you're a male virgin.
Mm-hmm.
I had, that was not even an option at the time.
Right.
But I thank God that he got, started getting a hold of my life kind of like around that. It started in the 10th grade, but it really hit around the 12th grade.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's a real pressure.
Yeah.
It's a real thing. We know that it happens for girls as well, but it's a real thing for guys.
I can't speak for girls across the board, but mm-hmm. for myself, I was introduced early on and not by choice, mm-hmm. but introduced all
Call
the
it what
same.
It is, baby.
Introduced all the same. And I believe it was strategic on the person's part, you know, laid out magazines mm-hmm. that, you know, as a 7-year-old, I'm going to be like, what's going on over there?
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole, I won't tell if you, mm-hmm. you know, and then you're just introduced, mm-hmm. you know. And mm-hmm. so in being introduced that way, it kind of became an understanding that if I wanted attention from a man, or if I needed, I had to mm-hmm. do things, or mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. I had to. I'm getting a little choked up.
So I'm good.
I had to, you know, I had to present myself yeah. that way to try, and then bless the some of the women in my growing up years. I had a person dear to me, a relative, who'll tell me as long as, you know, I had certain body parts, I had
money.
What did
they say to you?
Oh, I'm talking. You don't have to say. That's a PG program.
You say it PG, but what?
As long as you have a
vagina.
That ain't what she said, but.
That's the PG form of it.
Okay. As long as you have this, you have money. And I think
terrible
I was about
advice.
I think I was about 11 or so when that
horrible
was
programming.
Told to me. So just before, you know, puberty and teenage years and, you know, pagers and bomber jackets and
they don't
foolish
know what that is.
K-Swiss tennis shoes and mm-hmm. just the foolishness that you did to gain.
And a false sense of power and control.
Right. Absolutely. And so my experience brought all kinds of baggage. Bless your heart. Bless your heart. But I will say all that you just said and then your desire at 18, because that was around the time when you know, and you had some solid friends, right? Started to move,
mm-hmm.
maneuver. That's a whole nother. Did we do that podcast already when
no.
I met you at 21?
Not
and
yet.
It was 18. Okay. Whole nother story. But the thing that the Lord was preparing in you was a beautiful thing because, as I've said many times to many different people, you loved the broken kid in me. Aww.
Aww.
Aww. Yeah. Aww. You God helped you to do that. And that broken kid was a hot mess in the beginning years
mm-hmm.
of our marriage because she struggled and mm-hmm. she had baggage.
Talk about that a little bit, how being with the horrible programming that you had been given, myself as well, but how you know,
I'm
someone
starting to sweat
from your eyeballs.
My
huh?
eyeballs are sweating. My eyeballs are sweating, y'all.
No, but we're trying to be as real and honest as we can because we want
okay.
to see, we want this to really get to someone who needs to hear this.
Yes.
You know, I just forgot real quick where we're.
You say you wanted me to go into more of that conversation or how?
It'll come back to me. Thank you for that part. How the bad programming and, you know, like setting up the magazines on the table and being told as long as you have a vagina, you have money. I know what I was going to say.
Okay.
I'm sorry. How did that type of programming have an effect on you once you were married?
Okay. Once I was married. Well, before we get to the married, in growing up, you will build a wall,
right?
Because you have to get defensive, because you somewhere innately you know this is not right,
right?
But also somewhere within you, you're looking for love in all the wrong places, right?
Same
you're
here.
Looking for a male fatherly figure because of the lack there was. It's a weird, convoluted situation, mm-hmm. y'all. And so you build a wall and you put on this facade. I really believe it's why today my eyeballs are constipated, why they don't sweat, and liquid flow from
translation.
My eyeballs.
She struggles to cry even though she's about to now.
Because anywho.
It's about me, yeah, the vulnerability of it.
You can't do that. You can't be that when you're taken advantage of.
Right.
And it can't be vulnerable. You got to be strong.
Right.
It's got to be your power, your choice, my will, my way.
Now you all take ownership of it.
Anywho, bringing all that to the marriage bed, because I used all of that to get you, right? You said, I used all that to
no, but it, you know what? I make jokes about that, but the reality is, I was using you as well to deal with all of my foolishness, because my childhood foolishness, because of the baggage that I picked up from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, guys aren't supposed to say things like this, but I articulated, if you had sex with me, is because you were really feeling me. You know, you love me, or, you know, you were really digging me, not realizing in a lot of cases you're just working out your own baggage and your own lust and, you know, all of the negative connotations that come with doing this act out of God's will. So, you know, I'm putting
the
insecurity.
The feeling wasn't always, oh, I'm digging you. I'm loving you. I want you to dig me.
Right.
I want you to love me. I want you to esteem me.
Yeah.
I'm finding my value in you. I'm going to give you all of this, but I need you to return it back with adoration. And so often, often that was not the
right. You just become part of a body. You just become part of a body count. And unfortunately, I've done that with my share of young ladies. And I'm, you know, I really wish. I could take it back. When I saw the end game of our marriage and how much we both struggled in those first 5 years, like, guys, we really say we struggled so hard that even when we had spiritual counseling, our initial counseling sessions had to be done separately.
Right.
You know, because we had just that much of emotional issues. And I wish I could take that back. You know, and I wish I knew God, and I wish I had the fortitude to say, I don't care, you know, being even in a secular high school, I don't care what you guys are doing. I'm waiting on the Lord for him to bring my wife. And I wish that was something that I could have presented.
Those things weren't taught to us, though. We got to get in there, guys, and teach that to our young ones.
Absolutely. Let's get off into some of these scriptures, man.
All right. These are a lot of scriptures. All right. You sure you want to go
three.
Over? Okay.
Oh, we're going to, you know, this is going to be a one or two. We're going to take our time with this one.
All right. So, all right. Scriptures. Whew. That was tough. All right. Get it together. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Always in the New King James, guys. That's just the one I like. All right, so Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service.
Mm-hmm.
And do not be conformed to this world. Come on, this wasn't taught to us. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
All right, young adults, listen to Uncle Curdy and Aunt Dee Dee here.
Right.
Our God wants our minds to be renewed, but renewed what? In Him.
Right.
If you're one of those ones that are out there and you're saying things like, I believe that as a believer in Christ, that it is okay for sexual reassignment, if I believe that it's okay to have sex outside of marriage.
Right.
God wants to renew your mind on those things because God knows the outcome of those things. We don't see the dark side of that stuff when someone is desiring to commit suicide, because one after the next are finding themselves putting themselves in situations where on their quiet bed at night, something in your conscience lets them know that what I just did was wrong.
Right.
Or some young woman ending up on an abortion table or things like that. You know, we think, oh yeah, we'll just get that. But you know, when it really hurts, sometimes you'll know right on the spot, but when it really hurts is when you decide that now you really want to have children. Now you're in a stable relationship and a good marriage, and you want to have kids. And some, the consequences of you may not be able to, but in other cases, what'll happen is now you'll do everything to preserve life. And now the reality is now hitting you of what you did before. And so, see, God wants to protect us from those things. And for those out there who find themselves in that situation, understand this. You have not done anything that God's grace can't forgive you for. Right? All you have to do is accept his mercy and grace. But guess what? That's only for believers. So God wants to renew your mind. He wants to renew our minds. But we must present our bodies to him as living sacrifices. It is our reasonable service.
Okay, 1 Thessalonians 4:3-8. It says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immoralities, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passions of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord, the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit.
God says, abstain from sexual immorality.
Man.
You know, hold our vessels in sanctification, possess our own vessel in sanctification and honor. You know, that is so important. That was something that wasn't taught.
No, I was just shaking my head. I keep saying, I wasn't going to say it again, but you just said it.
Yeah.
That was not taught to us.
Right.
We have to get in there with our kids, guys.
And but once we knew better.
Reiterate this.
But let's be real. Once we knew better, there were still struggles in this area because we had been so far steeped, so rooted in this, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's because we weren't yielding to the power of God in us.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We had a 4-year
off and on
relationship, more on than off.
Right.
Right. Which never should have been that long.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Especially doing what we're doing. But
we didn't know. Yeah.
But no, you can't say that.
OK.
Because by the time we were under the word, we knew.
Yeah. OK.
Yeah. We can't say.
Anyway, don't get me started.
We weren't doing what it took to abstain.
Oh, yes, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, we knew the word. We
confession, guys.
Right.
Confession.
Yeah. But and I hate using the word try when it comes to being obedient to God, because you don't try to be obedient.
You are.
Right. You know, but you're saying you're trying to be obedient, but yet you're still having alone time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You're putting yourself in compromised positions, which will open the door. You're not protecting yourself, you know, with kissing and touching and all of these different things that can lead to this, you know?
Right.
So on one hand, you said, I know what the word of God says, but I know this. The truth is,
he knows my heart.
Yeah, he knows my heart. We were not honoring God's word.
Not
and I'm
all.
Telling you, guys, you don't want those consequences, because believe it or not, we suffered some of those consequences.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And like, is we this almost did not happen
right
for a whole year, and we almost moved on with other people. But I'll tell you this, when the conviction got strong, and as far as doing it God's way, we didn't mess around anymore.
Yeah.
But there are people out there who are having these issues going on, who are not even close to marriage right now. What do we say to them?
Line yourself up. Well, are they Christians?
We're talking to Christians right now.
Who
yes.
aren't close to marriage, but in yeah. agree with God. Agree with God and trust him and get married. If this is a person that you definitely...
Or leave.
I was getting ready to say, if this is a person that you definitely cannot see your life without, that was a deciding factor with me. I knew Curtis would always be in my world. It with anyone else, and that's such a sad statement, right? I knew he would, his people were my people. I would be stopping by saying hi. This was the dude I couldn't see life without. And so I understood that, and I agreed with, and God said, okay, if that's it, if this is it, this is it. Mm-hmm. And I agree with God on moving forward with him. I had things in my world. I had a lease that I needed to try and get out of. Mm-hmm. I was living with someone, and I had to shut that down. Whole engaged, okay? And that had to be shut down. I mean, when that was like 94, the beginning of 94, January, I was engaged. I got engaged for my birthday. And August, I married this dude. I was engaged to somebody else. And in August, I married this dude. That when you agree with the Lord and you do it his way, trust thou in
engaged.
The Lord. Trust thou in the Lord and let him move. He will move you. And provide for you, and I just agree with him. It may not be in your cards, in your mind right now, but if this message is hitting you some kind of way and you're like, I don't even know where, how do I get out of this? Trust thou in the Lord. It's his job to do the rest.
And if you're not about
give it
to
over
get married,
to him.
If you're not thinking about marriage or anything, and if you're not thinking about marriage right now, then you need to get out of that situation.
Absolutely.
When the Lord says, if your right hand offends you, cut it off. He's talking about these issues right here. Anything that puts you in a position to cause you to sin against God, especially on a continual basis,
mm-hmm.
cut it
get
off.
Get it out of your life.
She was engaged to somebody. I was in the process of getting ready to get engaged to somebody. Unfortunately, the people who did not love the Lord like that.
Yeah.
All of this is pointing back
right?
to how we weren't taking our walk serious.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It was a part of our lives, but it wasn't the most important thing in our lives. And when God put it on my heart, as far as going back for her, God was at that time becoming the most important thing in my life, and doing it his way was the most important thing. And from that point on, here we are 28 years later from there.
All right.
Come on. Last Thank scripture.
You. That is nothing but Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right. Last scripture, 1 Corinthians 6, 15 through 20. It says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. A whole harlot, right? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? Ooh, The two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought, come on, at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
I remember, it's like I said, we're going to keep this real with you. And I wonder how many of you young people out there can identify with this. I'm unmarried at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a situation with a young lady. And while we're moving towards that area of physical intimacy, and like I said, the Lord wasn't, he was apart, but he wasn't he wasn't the thing I was striving for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my flesh was still a much bigger thing in my life.
Right.
I literally was hearing the Holy Spirit put in my spirit, what are you doing?
Mm.
What are you doing?
Mm.
You know better. Stop.
Wow. You
know, trying to protect me from, you know, what I was getting ready to get involved with.
Right.
Thank God for that. Thank
Amen.
God that he, I was thinking about it. We went to a conference yesterday and we heard Pastor Bill speaking, and he was talking about how he recounted how God had been merciful and protected
him, wow.
him over mm-hmm. the years. And I began to think about what if God would have come back, or what if God would have taken me while I was didn't have any consciousness of him, or I was involved in those acts and doing those things, you know what I'm saying, while I'm really not walking for him. Was I really, you know, sincere about my relationship?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What?
Where?
You know,
where,
and the things
where
that
would
I
you be?
The things that I've done, you know, against my father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, come on, kids. We are young adults. We really need to start taking these things serious. And so God says here, flee sexual immorality. And this is one of the things that we're getting ready to get into, and we hope will really help you guys when it's talking
Ooh.
About, yeah, mm-hmm. Fleeing sexual immorality. So there are certain things out there that are considered gateways,
mm-hmm.
you know, and there are things out there that you're doing that are very questionable that would make you want to ask, are you really,
mm-hmm.
really a virgin?
Mm-hmm.
So we saw the stat about kids giving, having oral sex.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And God says, flee sexual immorality.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, Dinah and I, we kind of had a little bit of a
difference of opinion.
Difference of opinion on this
one. Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
All right.
But
I got to figure out which one you're talking about.
Let's do the one on oral sex.
Okay.
You
so
know?
What?
So when you're looking at uncovering someone's nakedness, and you're doing that because they're are Christians out, Christian kids and young adults out there that are doing this in substitution of having intercourse, saying that they're virgin.
Right.
You said, right.
They're not a virgin.
They're not a virgin.
I say that.
Right. Why?
My chest.
Why?
Because they know, if you go back to the 1828 definition of Webster,
okay.
a virgin, it says a woman who knows not, I guess, a man carnally.
Mm-hmm.
If a woman or a teenage girl is having oral sex with a teenage boy,
or, yeah, okay.
she knows him carnally. She has touched him. She's held him. She's
mm-hmm. right. Oh yeah, yeah.
Orally
but yeah.
given,
put your hands up. Come on now.
She knows him. Her hymen may still be intact, but she's had a sexual experience. She's had a carnal experience. She's not
a whole sexual.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, y'all. She's had a sexual experience.
A whole sexual experience.
She's had that. And she does. She's not. I stand on it. She's not.
Here's the thing. Now, the position that I do believe I take.
You got me tucking my
head. Yeah, come here. She's had a whole sexual. Anyway.
Stop.
I will say this. At the very least.
Uh-huh.
You are not chaste, which
yeah.
is pure from all unlawful activities of sexual act.
Okay.
You're not pure, which is freedom from contamination or illicit sexual connection. And you're illicit. You're free, forbidden by law, rules, or customs. You're engaging in these acts.
Mm-hmm.
This is at the very least. My issue is, why would you take a chance with that? Yes, even as a woman, because your hymen still is intact. You have not been entered by a man. But for the man, you have done you get what I'm saying?
We're only speaking orally, but there are so many. But no, we were going to get into some of those.
Okay. We just started off with that one. So listen, don't sit here thinking that you are getting away, because whether God does not consider you a virgin or not because you have known someone else intimately or carnally in this way, or whether you are not pure, not moral, not chaste. Listen, all of these are still horrible things. Mm-hmm. All of these can still end up having terrible consequences.
Absolutely.
You know, and whatever your issue is, on your position is on this, all of those things should be saved for your spouse, because right. He said the marriage bed is undefiled, and that's the only bed. So when you're moving into areas such as oral sex and fingering, sorry guys,
sodomy,
okay, things of that nature, you at best you're gray lining on whether you're a virgin or not.
Not no virgin.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, that in God's eyes is horrible, and you are bringing
a non-virgin with a hymen.
Okay.
Woman.
Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. You said it with your chest. But the thing is, we don't want you walking away from this like, oh yeah, I know I'm clear.
Right.
Because you're not clear. And God's word says he chastens those who he loves.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So if you're a believer, a young believer, and you're engaging in any of these acts, I have to tell you the chastening, which is the butt whooping. And that's not what I really want to say.
Yeah.
But okay. That whooping right there, because sometimes I think you need a little bit more than a butt whooping. We okay. do. You need the big boy, right? Okay. When God pulls out the big belt. And the issue is, if you are his, he is not going to let you get away with that, because he wants to correct that behavior.
Right.
And you can no longer, you may not have known this before, but you know it now. You okay. know what I'm saying? And so I'm praying that God is using Uncle Kurt and Aunt Dee Dee's voice to convict you Absolutely. Of this sin, that you will move away. So if that guy is pressuring you to have sexual acts with you, and you're not, and he's not the one you're going to marry, cut it off.
Right.
The guy, cut it off. If you're dealing with someone who does not know Jesus Christ and you say that absolutely. You're a believer, cut it off, absolutely. No matter how hard it is. You know, we also want to talk about the responsibility of leaders, parents, youth pastors, and people of that nature. Listen, these stats are real.
Yep.
Most of these kids are identifying as Christian, but they're not acting as such. And they believe ideas about sex and reassignment, gender reassignment, and all these things which are consistent with the world. And we want to say to you guys, especially parents, stop enabling your children. If you're telling your children, oh, you can date when you get 16, mm-hmm. or oh, I'd rather they do it here than to do it out there,
right.
or putting them in situations where they can be with the person in intimate settings and not setting up safeguards for them, you are enabling this. Right. You want to tell that situation that you knew about?
Yeah. Let me see. I want to do this. I knew of a situation where a young mother had children, and I think it was her oldest daughter.
High school age now. Mm-hmm.
She was high school age at the time.
Who, the mother or the daughter? Because you said a young mother. I just want it for clarity.
The daughter.
Okay.
Her oldest daughter was high school age, like freshman in high school. And
Christian.
Yes, Christian family. And the daughter wound up pregnant, mm-hmm. and she hid her pregnancy from her parents until she was due. Mm. And I mean, like, baggy sweatshirts in the summertime. I'm cold when you're really just, you know, trying to hide your baby bump. And she ends up having a baby. And her and her boyfriend at the time were really happy about that. And so it comes out, it comes to knowledge that, you know, her oldest daughter, because it was kind of a secret at first. It comes to knowledge that because the grandmother begins to, you know, have a baby. There's a baby in her world at the job or in the car. You know, it's like, hey, you know, where does baby come from? And the story is the story is revealed. Yeah, and I'm like, oh wow, okay. Well, are you going to, you know, make arrangements for them to get married? Do they love each other? You know, we go through the whole conversation. They love each other. They won't. Da da da. Oh no, she says, no, this isn't happening again. She has to go to school. She's going to graduate. She's going to go to college. This was a one and done.
It's a one off.
And That this is how I'm looking at the lady, like,
you. That's what you think.
This is finna stop. You. This is what you think. And it was her whole heart. She really felt that, you know, this lesson had been learned and it wasn't gonna happen again. And before graduating high school, they were on baby number two. Baby number two was born in the 11th or 12th grade, and it was like, you could have whole supported this in marriage. I think they went on after high school to marry and have another child, but that could have,
that was the best case scenario for that bad situation.
The parents, under the umbrella of, no, you have to get your education, no, you have to knowing that they were going to be co-parenting together and that they loved each other, whole held them from marriage and ordering this thing into, putting this thing into the will of the father, and they ended up having another kid out of wedlock, and it was sad.
It really wrecked the testimony.
It was sad. It was really sad. And so when we were doing the study and you were listing things like as parents for us not to enable our kids, that story did come to mind. I was like, that was, you know, and it's a tough one because, you know, the girl probably was 16, 15, 16. You're like, marriage. We put our negative view of marriage onto and we go, no, you don't want that. You don't know anything about it. Well, obviously they know something. They done made a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They got the core understanding of what happens in a marriage and everything else. The Lord, can you imagine two people growing from their youth and gaining things together, you know, they get their education together, and they buy their house together, and they do, you know, they just, and that's how you get these 40, 50 year, you know, marriages today. People have to get married at 16, 17, you know, 18, you put the 16 19. I said it with my chest. Ooh. That girl was 16, you know, I pray that her and her husband are doing well today. But, you know, I don't know that for sure, but that is the prayer. But that could, they could have had that. They could have been married just as long as us, you know, and in their, you know, 40s instead of their 50s.
Education, it can be important, especially when it comes to taking care of yourselves and things of that nature. But I agree with you in the sense that I think we put way too much of a premium on education, because without really realizing it, we'll do the whole, it's better to get your education and burn versus what God says is better to get married than to burn. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And, you know, you're too young to get married. We've always told our kids, and some of you may agree, some of you may not disagree, may not agree, but we've always told our kids this: listen, you know, you're ready to date when you're ready to consider marriage.
Right.
I'm a father of five daughters. You think I want some nappy-headed boy? I don't care if his hair is straight. Whatever nationality you are, your hair is nappy right now. You think I want some boys coming in and out of my daughter's lives, looking at them as a body count, a boo thing? You know, someone that they just slid up in and they're going on about their business? No.
Right.
No, no, no. So we've taught them, you know, you're ready to date when you're ready to start considering marriage. And then there's a certain way that you must do it. We've also told them, listen, and this is the part that you may not agree with.
Right.
But this was in our house. We have taught you the word of God.
Right.
We have taught you what God says about this issue. If you choose to go outside of that and you end up pregnant, because guess what? That's not a mistake. That's a choice.
Right.
You made a lot of choices to get to that point.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And we call it a mistake, but you really made choices. You made choices to be alone. You made choices to go over his house or her house. You made choices to go to the room, wherever you're going. You made choices to pull down your at any one of these things, you could have stopped. And so in that moment right there, if you choose and there is a pregnancy that comes out of it because we are still raising other daughters, listen. You have created your own family, whether you realize it or not, and we will do everything to help you, but we also gonna help you to move.
Right.
And help you to create your family, whether that's with the guy or whether that's you by yourself because you picked the wrong guy. Now, once again, we know that some may disagree with that because they say, well, oh, the kids are too young, they're this. They weren't too young to do what they did. And bless God, up until this point, it has held our kids to a certain level of accountability where we haven't had to address that, unlike in this particular case right here, not to dump on the other parents, but they made the atmosphere easy for the second pregnancy
to come about.
Mm-hmm. And so those are the things that we have to watch out for. But because of sake of time, because we are going on way long here, let's offer some, let's look at some things that are gateways.
Okay. So, of course, number one, porn. Porn is a definite gateway.
Gateway. Won't move you out of being.
It will not. Stop it. Get it off your phone.
Yeah. Just.
Don't do it.
It's dangerous.
Don't do it. Sexting.
Big one.
Sexting between you and your significant other. If you're sending foul conversations, you know, I could do this and I'll do that and you don't want none of this, and or photos, you know. It's just, don't do it.
Right. Those things lead to bad juju.
Exactly. We already talked about fondling, and we didn't say this, but this is probably about the, how else would you say this?
That's yours. So
on with your clothes on, maneuvering in sexual positions,
grinding and being in intimate situations where you're putting parts up against parts. Even stay away, don't allow yourself to be put in those situations.
Okay. We all,
this is a biggie.
Masturbation,
all
that alone time, private breaks, and feeding your flesh, gaining that appetite for more of that. You know, and then that it's a selfish act too. You just don't want to grow in that, and pretty soon yourself will not be enough. You will want more. That appetite does grow, and this one is definitely a gateway. But people think of this one very innocently, and because it's like, oh, your first kiss. But kissing turns into heavy making out. Heavy making out turns into body parts, you know, rubbing together.
Maybe a side hug, maybe a kiss on the cheek, but that's about it. Maybe a forehead, but stay away from it.
Right.
These things all lead to gateways.
Right.
And so I guess one definition can be, when you're asking this question, are you really a virgin? When you're doing the, not talking about the gateways here, but when you're doing everything else but intercourse, like Dinah, I would say you might want to really question if you really are, because, like we said, at very least, you're being sexually immoral, you're not being chaste, and you are being illicit in your acts.
Right.
So you want to really stay away from those things. Some things that we can offer as far as help for you guys is make sure that you are, if you're struggling in this area, Christian young person, have an accountability partner. I thank God, if some of you guys have been watching our interview with the Buffingtons, and what Mika has been to my daughters,
yes.
You know, that extra mom, bro, I can hear your fan.
I'm so sorry. Can you see my shiny forehead too? I need a pat.
But what Mika, what Mika has been to my, nice. My daughters, I think about the women that are in my daughter's lives. My daughters have the ability, my two that are still, at home, they have the ability to call on about 5 or 6 different women. You know, some conversations, you know, they may not feel as comfortable talking to mom
right.
about,
right.
Or even dad, but you know, sometimes in these issues, mom about. So they have other people that they can go to who are in the Lord, solid, mature, women of God in the Lord who they mm-hmm. can go to and have these conversations with them about things that they may be feeling. Make sure that you have somebody like that in your life. If you do not, contact us through Instagram at BIP for
Amen.
Life, or Facebook at BIP for Life, or on YouTube in the comment section. Let us know about it and we'll see what we can do about getting you some help in those areas, young people.
I love how you said, you know, who Mika Buffington has been to our girls. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. And I would love to be that for.
But you are.
You know, have been that. But I also would say, try your parents. I mean, sometimes you know your parents are, you know, they just know. But really, as a parent, if any of my daughters came to me and they put, I need to talk to you as a friend to friend. We really are here to help. We've traveled the road mm-hmm. that you guys are on. And if you have an understanding parent, I guess I would say that, try your parent. If not, then yes, a youth pastor or your pastor or, you know, an accountability partner, mm-hmm. definitely female to female,
male to male. Absolutely.
You know, somebody who loves you and somebody who loves the Lord, not just, you know, a homie or even just a person you deem wise. You need someone who loves the Lord,
yeah.
who can help you understand his will and his way and pray with you and for you in and on this. And we already talked about don't enable, you know, your
right.
your children in this by, you know, I'd rather them be here than out there. So, or passing them your son's condoms or putting your girls on birth control.
Yeah, no, we're not
you know,
doing none of that.
You think it's a defense because in your head you're understanding, oh, I already know they're going to go out and do this. No, you as a Christian mom, you should be all in on trying to explain to them the why not to and the beautiful thing that could happen if you hold on, you know.
Listen, real quick on that, because I'm glad you said that. Condoms and birth control were, we use it, you know, in these situations for, you know, to, you know, especially with people who are not married, right?
Okay.
But yeah. when you really look at those things,
mm-hmm.
those things should be designed for couples who at that time don't want to have a
married
pregnancy.
Couples. Be
yeah,
specific.
It should not be, you know, as just a form of protection that we're giving our high school kids. And it never should have gone to that, because what we did was we opened the door for more sexual activity. So parents, realize this. Sometimes in these situations, you may only get one shot at this. And this is not one that you want to blow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've had to hear things that we didn't necessarily want to hear from our kids, but
yeah.
we knew we couldn't be like, how could you or whatever. At that point, they needed a ear because they are going through real situations.
Absolutely.
Mom, dad, the pressure is thick. You know, having a hard time. All my friends are doing this. I have done this. And if you can't get there, make sure that you can connect with somebody. Don't travel this alone. But
no, please don't.
Here's the thing. Be intentional about getting it right with God, no matter what stage you are in this issue, whether you've done stuff, whether you, you know, haven't, whether you have had this mindset about this. Just be intentional. Repent, and God is faithful to cleanse you.
Right.
And when you repent, when you truly repent, you, it's not just some words that come out of your mouth, but it's the actions that follow as well. When it's true repentance, you get intentional about getting help to stop it. Anyway, we hope that this has been something that will bless you. We went super long on this one. This definitely was
a part two.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? But we wanted to share our heart with our young people. We I can't make that promise, but we'll do our best on what on the next Uncle Kurt and Dee Dee series not to be so long. But we really believe that someone out there needed to or will need to hear this. So we thank you guys for sticking in there with us.
Absolutely.
Parents, get this out to somebody who may need this. Hope this can be a tool and a guide for you as well. Babe, let's close this out. Tell the people where we can be reached once again.
We can be reached at BIP for Life on Instagram or on Facebook. And you guys do reach out if you need us. Young people, parents, reach out to us. We want to hear from
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
We would love to be a vessel that the Lord uses to help you through this journey. And we also can be heard on
Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify at Because I Promise. This is actually a part one and part two of a 2.0 because we have done this before.
Right.
So check us out. Laugh long, love hard. John 3:16, and we are out of here. Have a good one. Bye
guys.